This Civic Media podcast is sponsored by UW Organ and Tissue Donation. Organ donations are desperately needed, and now is the right time to become an organ donor. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. Go to heroicdeed.com.
It is Wednesday, December the 18th of 2024. The time is 8:07 in downtown Wausau. A few flurries are flying. Overcast skies, 23 degrees. It is the Hump Day Wednesday edition of the Chad Holmes Show here on 98.9 WXCO, online at WXCO.fm, mobile devices, and Alexa by searching WXCO and on the Civic Media app. Also, you can join us by calling or texting 715-382-9297. That's 715-382-9297. We'd love to have your voice be part of the show, and that number is to call or to text. Either way, if you call, you'll hear the friendly voice of one Mr. Ian Welsh. Ian, good morning.
Good morning, Chad.
Well,
good
how
morning,
are you?
Bob.
Yeah. Hey, look at that. He jumps in and introduces Bob before even I do.
He just, you know, he's on top of it. He's trying to show me respect, I guess.
Coming up,
how you doing, Ian?
Coming up in the second.
Pretty good, Bob.
Well, you guys, let me finish up.
How's the family?
Got to finish up my housekeeping here. You know,
I'm sorry.
The housekeeping, but you've done this business so many years. You know what the housekeeping is to get things underway. But coming up in hour number two of the show, as we do every other Wednesday, a guy that's very busy these days himself. A busy time at the Grand Theater in Wausau. We'll be joined by the Executive Director of the Grand and the Performing Arts Foundation of Wausau, Sean Wright. He'll tell us about a lot of the holiday shows coming to the Grand Theater in Wausau.
Didn't they get some kind of recognition or they got an anniversary coming up or something? I saw that.
No, they were named once again.
Yeah.
One of the, let me get that. Actually, I had to in my notes here. Ranked among the top venues in the world by Pollstar. Again, they ranked in the top 150.
For concerts and plays, whatever. You know.
In the top 150 venues in the world and among the very top for venues in their size market.
And I remember when I first came to work in this town back in the late 80s, there was talk about tearing it down. It was inches away from happening. I remember that, you know, vaguely because I heard about them talking about tearing it up, and then they had a show that it was a country music. Eddie Rabbit was the performer, all right, and the station I was with, the country
I
music radio.
I love a rainy night.
Yeah, I mean, and I did Eddie Rabbit stuff before at other locations where I was at, and he the first thing I remember Eddie Rabbit saying, "What a great place." And then I told him there's talk that they want to, you know, tear it down. And you got to be kidding me. He says, no. I said, but then some folks stepped up and, you know, changed the minds.
Yeah, I mean, and you're exactly right. I remember that as well. Mm-hmm. And it's hard, you know, again, I hate whenever I say, it's hard to believe, but it is. I mean, that was almost 40 years ago that they had the renovation. And I know that there's some talk in the near future of, you know, again, trying to make sure that that venue sticks around for another century. I mean, it is such a, and the thing is, you love, one of the things, and we'll be talking about sports later on, one of the things, I know these new palaces they're building are, you know, they got a lot of the amenities that people want, but there's something that's missing about some of these places. They seem so, I guess, sterile, to, for lack of a better term. And the Grand has all this character just driving in downtown. I mean, it's amazing.
Remember, Kathy Matea did a show here years ago, and I was chatting with her. And she says, what? And she pointed out, I said, what a beautiful building to perform in. I says, I play so many places that, you know, are newer and are supposedly better, you know, sounding acoustically. Right. And he says, when I first walked in here, you know, when we were doing a sound check, and I went, this is unbelievable. I'd like to take this on the road with me every place I can play. I said, it was a privilege to perform here.
And that's something that Sean says all the time, is one of the reasons that so many of these terrific performers come is, number one, it is a wonderful venue. Number two, they enjoy visiting, being right here in downtown Wausau, being able to be within walking distance of good food, and just being able to not have to,
know the community.
Exactly. Yeah. Just everything that goes into it. I'm sure that when we get a chance to talk to Sean later in the second hour, that he'll be a very happy guy, I think.
Okay. They're always incredibly busy this time of year. Yeah. A lot of other shows and local type productions and things. Yeah. So it's fun. It's just
absolutely
great.
Absolutely. It's always wonderful.
Sorry to get off track.
No, that's a wonderful way to start, actually. I think it is a treasure here. And again, for them to be rewarded for the hard work they do.
Yeah. Sometimes people, they always look, you know, down the road or, you know, on the other side of the fence and say, oh, that's nice that they got that. And we tend to not, you know, realize and also appreciate the really quality venues that are here. I mean, the 400 block, that was also something that was bantied about. Well, what, we're just going to have an empty space here? Well,
the same thing they said about Central Park.
Yeah. And so, come on, folks, you know. Always look on the bright side of life, is that Monty Python.
No, it'll be wonderful to congratulate Sean and, again, talk to him a little bit later on in the program. Mm-hmm. I've been looking around. I have not seen yet down in Milwaukee their parade for the Emirates NBA Cup Championship. I must be missing it somewhere, but
maybe they're gonna have a special, you know, drive through when they land. I'm sure they didn't leave Vegas last night because they had some off days, so I'm sure they'll be getting back into town. But it's NBA did what he needed to do, trying to put some value juice to some of the early part of the season, even though that this game didn't count in the record book. For the season,
I think it does still count in the records. I think somehow they don't play extra games. I mean, I don't think the NBA Union would do that.
The championship game, though, the play-in games and that are used as official,
right?
That, but
oh,
the championship
don't?
Game,
really?
No.
That, I learned something new every day, I tell you.
Yeah, and that's what we were talking about this before. We're talking about, he's averaging so many points per game. As well, no matter what he gets today, it doesn't count for the regular season or even postseason. This is kind of like a bonus.
Interesting.
I
got to do my research here. I miss that. Wow. And that's actually interesting because, I mean, over the years we often hear, there's a big, I mean, you obviously probably know it better than anybody being around the University of Wisconsin. There's still this controversy because did the bowl games, the yardage not count for like Ron Dane? Right. I believe that the official NCAA rules do not count the bowl games. And I think in terms of like the NFL, like NFL championship games for Jim Brown and playoff games for Walter Payton, they don't count as well. I mean, there's a lot of goofiness when it comes to records.
Well, you know, sometimes the bean counters start taking over statistics too, besides the how much they pay for this or that. But, you know, it is what it is. But again, I think the reason for with the NBA is the fact that the winning team members win this much money, the losing team in that game get so much money. So it's like an additional,
Yeah, I heard that I think I had like about 500,000.
Yeah.
Which is pretty good deal.
I was looking at Damian Lillard, you know, they were saying, well, what are we going to do with that 500,000? He says, well, actually, I want to give it to some of our support staff and the folks who, you know, that can help him a lot more than him, because he's obviously making a really nice pound of money, you know, with playing regular season games and just being a professional.
By the way, doesn't that make you cringe when you see some of the people that work in the media, like, you know, we've done over the years, and they talk to a guy like Damian Lillard and bring up the money like that? I just think that makes me cringe when I think about that.
I mean, because we know better. I mean, come on, we know what Damian Lillard makes or Giannis makes, and then it's almost as though, well, you know, them. I mean,
how about that guy on the Bucks bench who's like the
that's there.
That's a heck of a bonus. You know?
Actually, we always save it for the end. But I have to mention, did you see the list of the, because in Major League Baseball now they have this new fund for pre-arbitration eligible players, and the numbers came out this week.
Yeah.
And Sal Frelick was the last one. X number of players get it, and I forget what the exact number was. I know that, like, I think Bobby Witt of the Royals got like $3 million because these guys get paid way, way below the actual their market value. But now that is something I think is good. But I mean, when you're talking, then you could ask Sal, hey, what are you going to do with that extra $35,000, whatever it is. But I just thought that, you know, when you ask a guy that's making more, I mean, they don't go and say, hey, Elon, you just got $200 billion more after Donald Trump got elected. Well, what are you going to do with the money?
I remember when I got in the business of, and I'm sure you've had this before too, there's a lot of people who think, how much you make, you know, being in radio, and you're only on the air 2 hours a day, they'd say to you, or if I'm doing a music show and I'm a disc jockey for 4 hours, you're only there for 4 hours. Oh, really? Well, you know, I happen to be the, you know, program director and operations manager. This is never closed. It's 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And through holidays, and I've worked so many Christmas Eves and Christmas days and Easter Sundays and Thanksgiving Thursdays.
How many car dealerships have you spent a Saturday afternoon at?
Oh, how many Black Fridays have I been to, you know, a place that's opening up at 6 o'clock and they want a morning remote. And you're sitting there in a freezing parking lot, you know, setting up your equipment. And then as soon as they open the door, everyone runs inside. Okay, now we got to go inside.
That's why, again, one of the, you know, I can never not watch WKRP because I just go to Del Murdoch's store to have a remote to get held up.
That was a show that was so inside radio, it was pathetic, and it was great.
It was so inside radio, it wasn't as big a hit as it should have been, because the people that really appreciate it.
Because there are a lot of people don't believe it, but it's, a lot of it's true.
Exactly right. So, hey, we got a lot of actual news to talk about with Bob Look coming up as we continue for the rest of this first hour. We're going to find out, actually, we expect some snow in the next day or so. Yeah. We're going to talk to Brittany Merlot about that coming up straight ahead. I am Chad Holmes. The time is 8:18. Chad Holmes Show, 98.9 WXCO.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Chad Holmes Show, 98.9 WXCO, online at WXCO.fm, mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO, and on the Civic Media app. The time is 8:21, another overcast sky. There were some snow flurries blowing around as we came into work this morning. Temperature stands at 23 degrees, but those snow flurries may be a preview of the next 24 to 36 hours, because it sounds as though we may get a little bit of the white stuff. And the person that always has that information is our meteorologist, Brittany Merlot. And Brittany, good morning.
Good morning, guys. How are you doing?
Excellent. It was a bit windy and cold out there when I came into the office.
Not too bad, huh?
Yeah, and it's as warm as it's going to get, isn't it?
Yes, right now. It is. We're slowly falling throughout the afternoon, and those winds are going to increase, too. About 25 mile per hour gusts throughout the afternoon, and temperatures in the teens by this evening. So we're setting up for some white stuff, like Chad said.
Yeah, so it's going to be a very chilly evening tonight, and then the snow does move in. And we were talking a bit yesterday. We were talking about this being a system that basically hits throughout much of the state. Has anything changed in terms of what the forecast models are saying?
The only thing that changed was yesterday it was targeting more southern parts of the state. Now it's targeting more northern parts of the state. And it's increased some totals here in central Wisconsin, where we could see anywhere from 4 to 8 inches of snowfall throughout tomorrow. And it's going to be heavy at times. It's also going to be breezy, too. Winds at about 20 to 30 miles per hour. So some blowing and drifting and recovering of roads from that lighter and fluffier snow, because temperatures tomorrow, highs are only going to be in the low 20s, and we're going to continue to slide after that. So some cooler air behind it. We stay crisp and cool for Friday and into the weekend. So the snow is not going to be melting, not at least until next week. That's when we start to warm things up. But 4 to 8 inches. It looks like it's going to move in probably around 7 o'clock tomorrow morning, starting to really ramp up throughout the late morning hours and afternoon. Tomorrow evening commute is going to be a rough one as well. Maybe the morning won't be too bad because it's just starting off, but by tomorrow evening, that's going to be brutal. So take your time and leave early.
Fluffy, at least. I like that because, fluffy, you know, when you talk about the folks that go out there and bring out the snow blowers, and some of them still bring out the shovels as we get into the snow, because we haven't talked a lot about this the last year or so, because last season we didn't get a whole lot of snow in terms of the big numbers as well. Folks out there need to be aware. Do not overstress themselves, because we have seen from time to time those folks who get out there after a big snowstorm, we get a foot of snow, all of a sudden they overstrain themselves and are in danger of heart attacks and things like that.
Yes, and that is a real scary truth. So take breaks, take your time, do it in shifts. You know what I mean? Do parts of the driveway, then come back 30 minutes later and do the rest of it. Something like that. Don't do it all at once. That's when you can get into trouble.
Last night, I was also taking a look at some of the weather information, and it was saying that perhaps we're going to get some warmer temperatures next week as we get towards the holiday. Is that true?
Yes, it is true. Unfortunately, I hope it changes, and I hope all of these things are wrong, because I want this snow to actually stick around and paint the landscape pretty, right? I mean, it's winter. Everything's dead and brown. Might as well have a little bit of snow on the ground for some of us to play in, but it does want to melt by next week. I mean, we're looking at rain chances as we push in towards Christmas, and 50s across southern parts of the state. That is crazy for the end of December.
We don't want Santa Claus plowing around in mud, do we?
No, and he's going to be sweating in that suit. Can you imagine? He's got so much to wear and so much to do. Oh,
we don't want to make it colder. We don't want a stinky Santa.
Now the kids are going to smell when he's there. Now they're going to wake up and see him.
Well, I guess we'll just have to take advantage of the snow, and the kids get out there and build those first snowmen and get the sleds out. But what are the details again? The latest information, what we can expect over the next couple of days.
Yeah, so we're looking at a winter storm watch likely going out any minute now. Definitely today it's going to happen. We're looking at 4 to 8 inches of snowfall throughout tomorrow. But before we get to all of that, just a few flurries flying around today, mostly cloudy, temperatures right where they are. These are the highs. They're going to slowly slide to the teens tonight. And then, like I said, that snow moving in by 6 or 7 o'clock tomorrow morning, ramping up throughout the afternoon and evening, continuing into the overnight before it ends on Friday morning. Friday will be some sunshine out there, breezy and chilly. Temperatures in the low 20s, falling to highs in the teens on Saturday, and struggling to get near 20 on Sunday.
All righty, so everybody be prepared. Again, keep it tuned in. Brittany will be, along with our other meteorologist, updating the weather multiple times every hour here on 98.9 WXCO. And again, when you get out there, don't assume that you remember how to drive in bad conditions. Because I've noticed people, the first time we get these snows, they still tailgate. They still are right on you. Come on,
have that buffer. Let's make sure there's no fender benders and everybody gets home well tomorrow during the, especially the afternoon drive, which sounds like, as you said, is going to be a little bit iffy out there. So take a little extra time, people, right, Brittany?
Yes. And, take your time and slow down on those ramps. Those always get you when you're coming off the highway, the ramps. Oh, my goodness. Slow down prior to that, you guys.
And Merry Christmas to you, Brittany. I'm not going to be talking until after Christmas, and happy holidays,
you.
Okay?
You too. Yes, have a wonderful one. Thanks. I'll see you next year. Wow.
Whoa.
Thanks for the information, Brittany, and we'll get the latest as that snow comes tomorrow morning.
Bye, Brittany.
Sounds good. Bye, guys. Thank you.
Right now in downtown Wausau, again, a snow flurry or two flying around. Temperature stands at 23 degrees. Overcast, guys. The winds are out of the northwest at 9 miles per hour, gusting as high as 17 miles per hour. So that means the wind chill is in effect right now, wind chill of 13. The dew point is 12, relative humidity of 63%. The barometer at 30.25 inches and a visibility of 10 miles. Coming up, we have an information update, news, weather, and sports. We do that at the top and bottom of every hour right here on Civic Media and 98.9 WXCO. And then we'll delve into the news headlines of the week with Bob Look, and we'll touch a little bit more on sports at the end of the hour as well.
We might even bring up the 2025 Christmas blockbuster, Stinky Santa.
We'll get working on that script.
I think we ought to trademark that right now.
I think
Stinky
so right
Santa
now.
Is definitely a winner.
We'll start to do the casting during the break here.
Starring Billy Bob Thornton.
There you go. 8:29 is the time. We'll be right back here on 98.9 WXCO.
You're an organ donor, right? Well, here's a tragic fact. Approximately 20 people die each day waiting for precious donated organs. You could make a life-saving decision simply by getting that important dot on your driver's license. That little dot shows those who need to know that you've made a decision to donate organs at a critical time. Go to heroicdeed.com to learn more about the importance of organ donation and how you can make your wishes known. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. HeroicDeed.com.
When I was young, it seemed that life was so wonderful. A miracle, oh, it was beautiful, magical. And all the birds in the trees, they'd be singing so happily. Oh, joyfully, oh, playfully, watching me.
And welcome back, Chad Holmes Show, 98.9 WXCO, online at WXCO.fm, mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO, and on the Civic Media app. The time is 8:35, overcast skies, 23 degrees in downtown Wausau, the corner of Washington Street and North 3rd Street in downtown Wausau. Bob, I'm going to ask you, what's jumped out to you in the news that we want to talk about this week? I got some ideas, but I want to.
Well,
you're my guest. I want to start off.
To be honest with you, you know, I'm almost put myself on like in the waiting room. I don't want to sit there and just get focused on all these. Oh, he's nominating this person for this position, and I look at it more from a little farther distance. Is that he's just right now with the appointments that he's proposing as far as being the president-elect, and remember, he's still just the president-elect now. He's not the president of the United States at this point in time.
For another 33 days.
He's throwing, you know, those individuals out there. It's kind of like a fisherman going out, you know, not really sure what he can get away with to catch fish. Let's throw something really, really out in the left field and see if he has the Republicans who will go, yes, whatever you say, sir, is fine with me.
It's trying to find out what that line is.
Right. So when I see all these names and hear all these names and people get all, you get their undies in a bundle, and I just kind of...
Are you saying, real fast here. Mm-hmm. Are you saying that, I'm going to push back a little bit. Mm-hmm. I think the response is when you see historically bad choices, I think there is a responsibility to say something.
There is, but again, the Democratic Party on as a whole should basically just say, okay, well, we've got our house in order. You guys on the other side, if you let this person go, and again, it doesn't mean that just because he nominates them means that they're going to be approved, and they may not be approved, which would then force the hand also of then the new president taking over, where he has, you know, need somebody emergency, whatever that was, the terminology they use that for, but it's, you know, that it's that
recess appointment.
Recess appointment, correct. And so then, you know, when that pick goes in there and basically makes a mess of things, you know, the Democratic Party can just sit there with their arms folded and go, well.
Actually, one aspect of our system that, not to be, they'll say, oh, Chad doesn't love the Constitution. I love the Constitution. But one aspect of our government that's a little different than, say, the forms that we see in others, the parliamentary systems, is our system is set up to almost stop ideas at times, and I think sometimes when somebody is elected, there should be an opportunity. Hey, they say this is what they want to do. Let's see what it does. Yeah. And sometimes we don't get that because of the system the way it is. In a sense, if Donald Trump thinks that tariffs are going to allow our economy to have a more wonder, make us richer than we've ever been before, perhaps we should see how it does work. I think sometimes, you know, in a sense, and yeah, I think that, you know, it would be disastrous in so many of his policies. But at the same time, if we don't see them, then people say, well, if they would have let him do it, he would have been successful. And I think sometimes in our system of government, both sides, where I think in a number of ways we've seen over the years with Democrats, where we have these ideas of being a more energetic government, but they're not allowed to do it by the Republicans, we often don't get to see truly whose ideas are the best ideas.
Well, that's where the Democratic Party, as far as I'm concerned, can do the best by being the opposition. Not voting for particular, people that he nominates. And again, if you have the...
Put the responsibility on them.
You're supposed to go through the asking questions and finding out, you know, let the chips fall, but remain the opposition.
Right. We don't agree.
And be unified.
But, yeah.
And let them be responsible for what we end up with. So, again, none of these people are occupying those offices today.
Right.
You know, so right. It's not an immediate deal. It's one of these things where if you're playing poker, and you do play poker.
Oh, I play a little.
You know, and so it's like you may not have the hand right now, but you're making me hoping for that next, you know, card that might just change things. Like, you know, 2 years from now when they have the, you know, next midterms and things of that nature. I just, you know, I think that the Democratic Party right now can do a lot by just... Mm-hmm. Just nod their head. Okay. It's okay, almost, folks.
It's like calling Donald's bluff.
Correct.
It's like, correct. Okay, Donald.
Okay.
This is all you want
and
to do.
And it's not calling his bluff as much as causing the Republican Party the bluff.
Right.
Are you, do you really want to do this? Okay. And then we're back on the side. Okay, you guys, the election, you say was... They made the decision. Well, it wasn't by a huge margin that he won. So just live with it.
By the way, though, I mean, yesterday I was talking to you about this in our break. Yesterday, that the Democratic Party had they're deciding who the ranking members are going to be in each of these committees, and Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, the young congresswoman from New York, wanted to be the lead Democrat on the committee that basically was the one that does much of the investigating. They'll try to make sure that the White House and is following the rules and basically make sure that they are on the Straight and Narrow, which is a pretty important committee coming up in the next Congress. And she lost the election to a 74-year-old congressman from Virginia, who obviously has the seniority. But also it announced in November that he is battling esophageal cancer. Mm-hmm. And obviously it's a very serious illness. But in the end, they decided that this role that, frankly, is need of, I think, of an energetic role, would not go to Ms. Cortez, but to the Virginia congressman. But I think along a bigger picture about what the Democratic Party needs to be, and I think you were talking a little bit about your viewpoint, but I do think the Democratic Party does need a change in at least some areas of leadership. I just think that continuing to play by the same rules that we've done over and over again in terms of seniority, business as usual for the Democratic Party, is not what the American people and people that are supporters of those with more progressive ideals want going into a second Trump term.
Well, as I mentioned off air with you, is that I would be more interested to know who is his vice chairman, who's, throughout the, because a lot of times, that they will hand appointments and that as a thank you for the years of service in that. And
but
that
that's real fact. Let me just say, I'm going to let you, but the point I'm making, that's business as usual. Donald Trump going back into the White House, we cannot be business as usual. That's just my, but I'm sorry to interrupt, but continue.
Okay, well, the business as usual is not as much as how you get the business done and how you become the opposition. I mean, I don't see where, this, congressman who's, spent obviously a long time, he's not going to go into this solo. He's not the spearhead. And he's probably, the guy who's going to be the main face. But there's always the vice chairmen. Those are the ones that you find kind of are the ones that, make the deal. And AOC, don't think that she's not close to being in that position or soon being more of a, at this point in time, the way with the party set up, and again, the election and all, there's so many people, and they're talking about all these various news, CNN, MSNBC, losing all these, people are tired, presidential race and all the election stuff. They just got bombarded with ads and just aggressive type ways of thing. And we've kind of hitting pause right now, taking a breath, get through this. And a lot of this is right now, it's all prep work for the new Congress that is eventually, being sworn in and being taken over. I think that, he will probably, once he's having maybe more problem, he'll probably step aside in for the betterment of it. And there's a lot of reasons why these things get done. A lot of things are behind the scenes for the interest, not just of the immediate, but for the long term.
I frankly am not in that boat at this point. And again, I, with all due respect, this idea that while we see Mark Zuckerberg, we see Jeff Bezos, we see everybody lining up, this is not 8 years ago. 8 years ago, there was the resistance, and whether or not it was successful or not, I think history will decide. But it was a very different reaction to Donald Trump being elected president in 2016. This time around, we are seeing the big moneyed interest. We are seeing them basically get on their knees to Donald Trump. $1 million donation here, $1 million donation there, $1 million donation there. And the idea of just continuing the business as usual and saying, well, and I with all due respect, the idea of sitting back and allowing no pushback at all right now when we are seeing some of the most powerful people in this country, the most wealthy people in this country, show that they are on board for this fascist regime is not where I want to be right now. And frankly, I was frustrated for a couple of weeks, and I was thinking the same thing about crawling under a rock. But seeing Bezos and Zuckerberg has made me very angry, giving $1 million to this grifter, Donald Trump. And it's really annoying. And I want to see a little bit more energy from the Democratic Party in fighting this right away. And I am very upset with the way things, because I do think that things are different eight years ago.
They're in the minority.
They cannot put in a 74-year-old man who is fighting esophageal cancer as the chairman of that committee.
But what is the 74-year-old man with cancer not going to do the same thing that would have been done if AOC was
We like, don't, but again, I, it's business. No, I just think that it's ridiculous to think that,
if you're
that,
in the minority,
that it's not a difference between AOC and this person that's fighting cancer at 74 years old. I don't know how you can say that's the same thing.
If I could jump in here saying, well, you're both making excellent points. Just the fact that, you know the phrase that age equals experience. Well, that is mostly true. However, it does not mean that age is the only factor for nominating someone. And I do agree that we need leaders who are younger and have more energy and more open-mindedness to give these, to have these, you know, different ideas and change things up. Because you're right, Chad. The business as usual technique has not been working, just keeping things as they are. And just the whole idea is that things have to change, and we just can't keep doing the same thing over and over again and expecting a different result. But that is the definition of insanity, doing the same thing over and over again and expecting a different result.
But if you cannot do anything, if you're in the minority, that's not applicable. What you can do is just hold the line. Here we are. This is, you know, our side of the story. And you got to pick your spots. It's just like if you're in a boxing match and you got somebody across from you that's better in that. You got to pick your spots. You got to pick your spots and be patient. And I'm not saying that this congressman who has a lot of experience, and obviously, but he is not the only person on that leadership that's, you know, going to be facing this. You got to wait for that moment where you set that out to the American public and say, well, they did this and they did that, and we did not support that. And now look at the junk here.
Well, you're going to play a little rope-a-dope like Muhammad Ali. Huh?
Yeah, and look what he did.
Little rope-a-dope, and then I'm George Foreman coming in, then, and all of a sudden,
punch your arms.
And then after the fourth round, fifth round, all of a sudden you're tired and down you go. So yeah. I hope you're right.
I'm just saying that's the way I look at it.
And also, you're right. I mean, there's a lot. We're going to see who.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
All right, deep breaths here as I get all. I know you sit there and you're so calm about it. I'm here flailing my arms, you know, about all the changes I want to see. That's Bob Look across the table. I'm Chad Holmes. Ian Welsh is in our producer's room. 8:52 here on this Wednesday morning. Let's loosen it up. I have to ask you, what does the Brew Crew Review say about trading Williams to the Yankees?
To be honest with you, that was expected. Yep. And also, I really think that the Brewers did not want to have Devin Williams opening day and with the ball club after his last appearance at AmFam Field. Because not just because you think that, you know, he's not a good pitcher. He's a good pitcher. But things like that stick with people. When the Brewers were playing, I'm trying to remember the exact year, it was 2018 or 20, when Grissom was out in right field, and the base hit.
Oh, the Nationals, yeah, wild card game.
Yeah, and all of a sudden it was the error that basically, you know, and I knew right then, he's not going to be back with the club. Not that they gave up on him or think he was a poor baseball player, but going back to the scene of the crime or the scene of the incident, it's going to be there, and Devin is, you know, he's not that old, and also he's the guy that ended up screwing up his postseason by punching a wall because he was angry. So Yeah, let's, you know, I think the Brewers, knowing that they weren't going to be able to pay for him.
That's it.
After this season, they made the, you know, what they think is going to help the ball club down the road.
And also, they don't want it to go into the season so it turns into what happened with Hader a few years ago.
Right.
Where it's easier to do it now because once the season begins, all of a sudden you may be put into a position where you really don't want to, you know, break up the team if they're doing well. And yet at the same time, you don't want to be in a situation where he walks for nothing next year.
And very quietly, the Milwaukee Brewers has done something that a lot of teams, they have a starting rotation and a bullpen that is left-handed, you know, deep. Mm. You look at a lot of teams out there sitting with maybe one left-hander in the whole staff. And not that left-handers are better than right-handers, but if you are an average pitcher or that, you know, having that, either left-handed or right-handed kind of, and also I said at the end of last season, the biggest free agent that the Brewers have to sign is pitching coach Chris Hook. And they did it.
Right.
And he's going to be here for the next, 2-3 years. And so it's like, all right, let him do that voodoo that he does so well and give him some fresh arms and see what happens.
It does seem as though, I mean, it's a real test to see, because we've seen an exodus of some rather high-level talent, and yet they find ways to win. It's really sort of a litmus test on can a good organization that knows what they're doing be able to, you know, get through some what we call choppy waters without having a true rebuild. And they've been able to do that.
And who was the GM of the year? The Milwaukee Brewers general manager was voted out of it. And then, of course, the manager, also was manager of the year in the National League. I know people expect, why can't they win a World Series? That's not easy, folks.
It's a crapshoot in baseball now. It's not the same way it used to be where there would be two or four teams that would make the playoffs.
Right,
now
yeah.
It's like you have short series, and baseball's not really meant for short series. It's meant for the long haul.
But again, if you happen to hit that where you've got the players during that short piece of playoff playing their best baseball, who knows? Maybe it'd be parading the down Wisconsin Avenue next year.
Oh, wouldn't that
be
nice?
He said already.
Wouldn't that be nice? What are you hearing in Madison? What's going on with the Badgers, whether it's hockey or men's basketball? They had a little dip there with 3 losses in a row, but they bounced back with a win over Butler on Saturday.
Yeah, well, the basketball team. And
those were good teams.
There's really no dominant college men's basketball team. They got some good ones, but it's going to be one of these where when you get down to the March Madness time, there could be as many as a dozen legitimate college teams to win the national championship. And for Badger men's hockey, getting better.
Yeah.
Scoring goals and doing, you know, and you've got the in between Christmas and New Year's Quick Trip showcase out in Milwaukee, and then when the Badgers get back into playing real games, they'll be playing Michigan State on a Thursday and then come around and then play Michigan State at Wrigley Field.
Wow.
So, you know, so they're going to be, you know, seeing some stuff. And plus the Badger men's team has played a lot more, played like 4 more conference games than most of the teams. So they're sitting second in the standings, but really they're more or less more in 4th, 5th place. But they'll be all right.
How did the Pavelski thing go? Because we were talking about that.
I'll tell you what, it was really something because not only, you know, having, you know, Joe back there, but there was like, I think it was like 10 or a dozen players from the 2006 national championship team who attended the game that Saturday, and some of them are not the guys that work out of Madison because they were busy, right, you know, doing other things. So to show you how close that team was, that they would make sure that they get back there to salute Pavs, it was a great evening.
Last week I talked to Andy Brandt, an interview that aired on their high school sports show. And he said that Pavelski shows up once in a while because he's with the Capitals, and he just shows up, and he works with those guys. He said he's just an incredible human being.
Well, those college kids going, here's a guy how many years in the NHL and playing for the Olympic team and everything. Come on, you got to listen to him.
Bob, we're going to bring you back 13 days from now. Year's Eve.
We're gonna
have the big New Year's Eve party.
We're
gonna
have the
morning.
Big giant diamond ball. Come on down.
We'll talk to you then.
Merry Christmas, everybody.
We'll be back in a moment.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.